So who cares? Okay, here's what I say. The church lives with the passionate belief that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is the Jesus life that's embodied by us in the world as we follow in His footsteps. And as we yield our lives in obedience to Christ, we're called not simply to believe, but we're called to do His will. And we believe that the cross is the good news of motivation for the redeemed. And it's the good news of salvation for the unredeemed. The mandate for missions, of course, is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go, and make disciples, and you be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and continue to teach them everything that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you until the end of the church age." And so we see in that mandate those action words, to go, to make, to baptize, to teach. And every mission that we're involved with is motivated by the great commission. Now here's something Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it's in this fashion of obeying the Great Commission and going forth as Jesus was sent, anointed with a message, that we carry on the work that Christ began. We are seen as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And so when I ask the question, who cares? If anybody should care, it should be the church. It should be you. It should be me. If anybody should care, it is the church. We should care about the unsaved. We should care about the impoverished. We should care about the imprisoned. We should care about the hungry, the oppressed, the abused, the outcast, the homeless, the helpless, the hopeless, and the forgotten of this world. And so when we go forth in missions, it may not always be to proclaim a sermon in front of an assembly. It might go to meet needs, just as you've seen today, or perhaps to feed, or to wash the wounds or the feet of those who are the oppressed. And so it's through the ministry of missions that we are the called out ones to impact the world both near and far with the good news of Jesus Christ, casting our stone into God's pond to create that everlasting ripple effect. Here are two scriptures I want you to look at with me today. They are Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 5. In Matthew 9:36-38, we're identifying with Jesus here. It says, "When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" Now, I think that's an interesting passage of Scripture. First of all, it says when He saw the crowds. And I would say to you, do you care? What's your reaction when you see the crowds? I mean, some people just think, well, that's the area of the world they live in. That's how they all live. They know how to make it. And there is no compassion. Or we see, you know, the addiction problem in our community and say, hey, they get what they deserve. Or we see, you know, I was telling our senior citizen group on Thursday, the church has really sort of pushed senior citizens to the side. If you just stand back and look at the church as a whole, they're upwardly mobile and they want to do the latest and the coolest thing. And lots of churches, they don't even visit the sick anymore, and they sort of just push the elderly aside. What do we see when we look at people? It says Jesus saw the crowd and He had compassion. And when He saw those people, He said that they're harassed, they're helpless, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I think it's interesting because the Scripture says He had compassion because they were like sheep. And then He says to the disciples, now go pick them. Okay, you don't go pick sheep. He changed the picture from shepherding to the harvest field and said they're also like the people out there are like ripe fruit waiting to know what they need to know. And so you go. But then he said, now listen, you ask the Lord of the harvest not to save them, but to send what? Workers for the harvest. And this group was an answer to what Jesus said. And the other passage is Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32. Jesus said this, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And so when we look at what Christ said about them, He says they're harassed, they're helpless, they're lost, and they're sinners. And the people who hang with Jesus, obviously, He said, they're the ones who know the way. They're the ones who are sent to reap, and they preach repentance. Now, I think that the church typically has a mission mindlessness. And what I mean by that is we get focused on our needs. And more than our needs, we get focused on our wants. And we don't stay tuned in to what the real world is like, especially spiritually. See, it's much easier, but much less rewarding to focus on ourselves rather than being motivated by the real needs of those who are so controlled by the pressures of this world and so controlled by the flesh of this world. It's hard for us to imagine that right now, just across the border in Mexico, there are hundreds and thousands of more families who are living in makeshift homes made out of tires and blue plastic and pallets and whatever else they can scrape up, waiting for another house to be built. But that's not the only mission in the world. And I think the church often we focus too much, you know, on our own health and not enough on what's going on around us. And some might say, well, how could that be? Well, I think these things might affect, you know, why we don't go forth in missions and in evangelism. Fear. We don't know what to expect. Bert said he doesn't fly. He doesn't prefer to fly. So he drove all the way to Texas and then drove into Mexico. That's amazing. That's commitment. Sometimes it's the fear of the trip. I know when we go to Thailand, some people say, what if you get sick over there? What if you die over there? And there is fear that keeps us from going sometimes. Or perhaps it's just ignorance. And by that, I mean, we just don't know. And sometimes American Christians, we're just plain ignorant, if you know what I mean. Or arrogance. Or apathy. Or sometimes bad theology. You see, sometimes I think we think in our Calvinistic views that God's overall and, you know, doesn't miss a beat. And of course, God doesn't, that we just sort of dismiss it. Well, somebody will go when God calls them to go, and He calls you, and we don't go. And so sometimes it's any of those things. But I would say this, that when I look at the church, sometimes I think the church has the attitude of a hypochondriac. You know, a hypochondriac is someone who is overly obsessed and anxious about their own health. Every little pain, every twitch, every tingle, every sniff, every cough becomes a sign, a sure sign of a fatal diagnosis. And they need to run to the doctor and find more medicine and get on so much medicine, it's the thing that's killing them in the end. And while they're rehearsing their sickness, they're not living, they're dying. And I think in the church, we have a tendency to overanalyze our weakness and overanalyze comparing ourselves to some other church, you know, that used to be here or is 1,000 miles away. And we just think we can't do it. And we focus on everything that's not right. And we forget to live. We forget to serve. We forget to smile. We forget to have fun. And I just think, you know, we haven't had a mission group on Sunday morning for a long time. And we usually do them in addition to the church schedule. But I think this is fantastic. And if you were in some mega church that had to have, you know, songs down to 17 minutes and 21 seconds and the sermon got 13 minutes and 41, this just wouldn't happen. So you need to celebrate a small church, even though there's about 50 people on vacation together right now from our church. And that's a reason to celebrate. But boy, I tell them, next time I'm going, you're staying home so you can see, you know, how many people are here and how many people aren't here. But I'm so happy you're here. We're having a great day. And I'm just saying, let's be the church that God called us to be, not worrying so much about every ache and pain and sniff and cough in the church. It is fatal to not go forth in the name of Jesus, both locally and globally. You hear me? If we don't go forth in the name of Jesus in Butler and across the world, it's a fatal mistake because it'll kill the church. And that is the mission of the church, to go. We will not thrive if we focus on ourselves alone. So this morning, I want to give you four pointers on gaining a mission mindset. The first one is this: there must be personal surrender. If you look at the call of Moses, if you look at the call of Elisha, which I'm going to speak about next week, if you look about the call of Mary or Joseph or any of the prophets, you're going to find that, first of all, they had to have an encounter with God. And in our lives, we are called by the cross to meet God through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this: if you are not personally surrendered, if you have not been broken, if you are not born again, you'll never get missions. Now, you might get excited and say, I'd like to get out there and build a house. But you know what? A lot of people, I mean, I've seen people go on mission trips in lieu of a vacation, but not in order to serve the Lord, in order to have a cheap vacation, you know, to see somewhere else in the world and just hang out with the group. And oftentimes those people will come home and their observation of the trip was, I just learned how blessed I really am and that I don't have to live that way. And when somebody says that, I think, you missed everything God had in store. And so I want you to ask yourself, you know, have I met the Lord? There has to be personal surrender. I say it this way: you have to crash and burn, because God only uses broken vessels. He doesn't use the self-help people. They don't need God in their life. And that's why the Beatitudes start with, blessed are those who are what? Poor in spirit. Those who are broken are the ones God uses. And those are the people He calls. Realize this: in Moses' life, he was 80 years old before he started serving the Lord. That is amazing to me. Or was he 40 years old? Did I say that wrong? 40 years of preparation? No. Yeah, 40 and yeah, he was 80. Okay. And the second pointer would be, you have to have a compassion for people. And that's what it said about Christ. When he looked at the crowd, what was his reaction? Compassion. And compassion for me is this: you can't help but helping. It's like when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' robe. He knew the power left him. And he wondered, who touched me? And you know how it is. I mean, the people that just got back, it's the faces, it's the eyes, it's the condition. You know, you just know. And sometimes, I got to tell you, it's the smell. Sometimes it's attractive and sometimes it's like, am I really? Yes. But it's that thing that draws you. And you have to then see the hearts and the eyes and the need of those people. And the Scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Listen, you can go out of the command, and the command is great. But when you go out of mercy, then you find out that God's breaking your heart while you're ministering to theirs, and then He'll rebuild you all in the same, you know, the same trip. So there has to be that burden that's washed in prayer, and it's the compassion of people that will give you then another step on the road to having a mission mindset. The third one is purposeful sacrifice. It will always cost you something to serve God. I'm glad we have limited resources. Some of the people that went on this trip took their vacation time from work, some with pay, some without, and used the money they could have spent on vacation or something extra for the house or whatever it might be, you know, to go on the trip. And others have laid down everything. People have sold homes to follow the Lord, you know, however it might be. But I have to have you know, you must give to go. Now, you'll find next week when I talk about, you know, saying yes to God's calling, there's always a goodbye. But that goodbye results in a hello. And so God always has something that we're leaving and something that we're coming to in every call. But it will cost. And when we have those limited resources, here's why I like it: because you have to prioritize. The guy that could say, hey, look, I don't even have to sell one Roni roll. I'll just write a check out of the account. Okay? He may not get out of the trip what the person is that said, you know, I broke my piggy bank from when I was 12 years old so I could take this trip. And I took my savings account and I sold this in order to go. And we see that there is that personal or purposeful sacrifice. And then lastly, the last point is you've got to get up and go. You can talk about it forever, but until you get up and go, you'll never experience what God has in mind until you show up in the field, in the harvest field. He says, pray to the Lord that He might send workers into the harvest. Now, my guess is because we featured Casas per Cristo, right now, if I said, raise your hand if you think you have an interest in going someday, there might be 5, 10, 15 people that would say yes. And every time a group comes back, I say, I'm going to go again someday. I've only done one. I think our church has done 6 or 7 homes. But when you show up in the field, here's what happens. Your Christian life becomes an adventure. See, in the church, we're typically playing defense. We just don't know it. We're guarding the fort. We're holding on to what, you know, needs to be. But when we'll take time to go, suddenly we're on the offense for God. We're making a touchdown for God or scoring a point, whatever you want to say. But it's a lot more fun to get out there. And suddenly all the burdens of home are gone. And you find yourself in a whole new place with God. Now, I have several observations that I would like to make. Every church begins its own ripple, is how I say it. At North Street Christian Church, we've thrown our stone into the pond. And just like Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when the power comes upon you, you'll go forth and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That was the city, the surrounding area, the surrounding area. And in Butler, PA, we've thrown our stone in the pond and the ripple goes out from North Street Church. My second observation is this, that missions and evangelism blend together. If you look at the very purpose of evangelism, the very purpose of missions, they intermingle. Now, typically we think of evangelism as when we're going to tell people the gospel. In missions, we think, well, we'll go build a house. But why do we build a house? In order that we might tell people the gospel so that they might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that helps a lot, especially when we start looking at or comparing what happens locally to what happens globally. So at this point, that's what I want to do. Look at the back side of the sheet that we gave you. I want to explain missions at North Street Church very quickly. At North Street Church, 15% of what goes into our general budget is given to missions. And our goal is that we give $38,400 a year to missions. Last year, we gave $82,000, and the year before, we gave $107,000, almost $108,000 to missions. Now, that would include, like when there's a trip, all the money we raised, all the money we spent goes in and out of missions, so it wasn't all just given away. But I want you to understand there's a lot of designated money that comes through North Street Church. One of the things I love about handling mission money, it's not our goal to save any. And I really think that maybe if the whole church functioned on that same way, we would just be blessed and blessed and blessed more than we are. Our missions department is overseen by Dane Kerr and Matt Eckert, who are both here, two of our elders. And in fact, Matt will pray at the end of today's message, and we plan 4 to 8 missions meetings a year, and we support local, domestic, and international missions. Next, I have a list of the missions we send to on a monthly basis: Trinity Gospel Association of Thailand, Casas per Cristo, One Challenge, New Directions, Trinity International, and then on an annual basis, we support Life Choices, and we also support the Gideons and Operation Christmas Child. And we have 2 missions right out of North Street Church. One is our Light of Life Community Outreach. That's a daily Christian drop-in center at the Legacy House. And it's not funded through our missions or by our missions, but the money's come through. And Kurt and Pam Witchie have been called to lead that. They take there's no salary. And right now they have about a $7,000 balance because they've gotten donations from all over the place. And we continue to buy food and minister to people every day, Monday through Thursday. And then our community meal actually is an outreach, a mission of North Street Christian Church. And so what I want you to see is that you are a part of the ministry of this church. It's not like this church has two pastors and a lot of people in the pew to come and learn. Here's how we see it, that God gave pastor teachers to equip the saints, the believers, to do the work of the ministry. And so today, this is just the senior pastor speaking to all the ministers of the church. You are the ministers. And so you're called to go forth. And you say, yes, someday I want to. Guess what? When you go out that door, you're going forth because the mission field begins outside those doors. And everything I said about the call of God, about the sacrifice, about the get up and go is true the minute you walk out the door. Three more insights. In our purpose statement, we say that we will send and be sent into the whole world. In our core values, we say we will affect the culture with Bible truth, and we will be involved in missions firsthand. It is our intention to use you in mission work. My fifth observation is some give and some go, and it takes both. But I want to say this, the people who make personal sacrifice and go get the most in return, and you'll want to do it again. You always receive more back than you give away. The last scripture of the day, Ephesians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. And Matt, would you get ready to pray? Andy has a mic for you. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And so there's something everybody can do today. You can pray. And you have the names or the names of our missions and missionaries. You can begin to pray for them today. And so I leave you with, who cares? I can say, I care. And I hope and pray, I know, you care. And God's called us to go into the world. And Matt, would you come and pray over us and about missions this morning?
Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. And we thank you for getting to hear from the team that went down to Mexico and to hear their stories and to hear about the work that they did. And we thank you for their willingness to go down to Mexico. And we thank you for the willingness of the people here to give to make that happen. And we just want to lift up the family that they built for and for that community. Whenever a house is built, I see it as a monument is built in that community, that a thing that's there in that community. And everyone in the community knows that that house came from a team that came down and built it in your name. And they know what Casas por Cristo means. And there it is right on the house at the top, Casas por Cristo, a house for Christ. In the name of Christ. And so we just pray that that home that was built not only enriches the lives of the family that needed it, but that it continues to function as a monument in that community of your name and the gospel going out. And we just want to lift up Scott and Jonna and their family and pray that the Casas per Cristo ministry would continue to be faithful in reaching out in Mexico and in the Dominican Republic, and that wherever they would be, that your name would be held up, that you would give them integrity in their ministry and help them to be faithful with the funds that come in, and just use them for your glory. And we pray for all of our hearts, Lord, because if anyone else is like me, it's easy to focus just on your own little family and in your own little home and to forget about the mission that we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, to be compassionate in our outreach to those who are in need, to the sheep that are wandering without a shepherd. And so whether we're looking in our own community or whether we're looking abroad, that we would have a heart for missions and evangelism, that we would have a heart for reaching out to the lost, that we would have a heart for providing for those who are in need. And no issue is simple, but we're so thankful for the people that you have called that have gone out into the mission field, people like Barnabas, people like Scott and Jonna, people like the Witches and others, Lord, that have come right out of these church doors to go serve. And they make it possible for those of us who don't have that kind of vision to walk alongside and to go and serve with them and to help out. And we pray that you would just equip us and send us out of here with a fire in our spirit to bring the gospel to others. And so we just pray for each and every mission that our church supports. And we pray that if it be your will, that you would lay more on our hearts and to show us how we can put the things that you give us, our time, our talent, our treasure, to be useful to your kingdom. And so we just thank you for the opportunity to be your servants, that you've saved us, and that you've saved us for a purpose, that we would be zealous for good works. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.